Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need, no matter where you are in life. When you need coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help, on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 366. Oh man, in a couple days, we're going to be shooting what could end up being my favorite Star Wars thing that we've ever shot. First of all, it blows my mind that I've been able to shoot any Star Wars anythings, but I can't say what this one is yet, but if it all works out, then I'll tell you all about it, obviously. It's going to be on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/Nerdist. So go to youtube.com/Nerdist, click subscribe, and you'll be informed when this Star Warsy thing drops, as they say. In other words, becomes available to the public. That's youtube.com/Nerdist. I would like to thank, for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, a movie. Yeah, I love when we have movie sponsors. It kind of makes us feel like a real thing. The Purge. The Purge, Ethan Hawke movie. It's essentially the movie where there's a sanctioned 12-hour period once a year where all criminal activity is allowed, including the murder. And it's basically about a family. It's Ethan Hawke and Lena Headey, who, of course, you know from Game of Thrones and Terminator, the series. And then, let's just say a lot of shit goes down because someone gets into their house. And that's not a spoiler. It's in the trailer. So The Purge, it opens Friday, June 7th. And so go see it. And I would like to thank The Purge for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. We got to get Ethan Hawke on. We got to get Lena Headey on. We should get them on. All right, I'll work on that. Or you work on that if you know them. Then I'll hug you. And thank you. And I will not break into your house when the government allows all crime to be legal for a 12-hour period. Or if I do, I will assault you with hugs and some platonic kisses. This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is Asif Manvi, who, if you see him, you go, oh yeah, that guy, he's been in a million things. He's an actor, writer, playwright, correspondent for The Daily Show. He fired Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2. You know, Peter was just doing his job and also saving the city, and he was only like 3 seconds late delivering that stack of pizzas, so those people really should have paid for them. Am I going off on a weird rant? But so we sat down, he's a super interesting guy, and he goes, oh, by the way, my friend's going to drop by if that's okay. I was like, sure. And his friend shows up, and it's Janina Gavankar, who did Attack of the Show a bunch of times. I think actually she was on one of the last episodes of Attack of the Show. She plays Luna on True Blood, and she's also been in a ton of other, she's been in The League, she's been on Arrow, and a super cool nerdy lady who not only gets to crash Asif's episode, but is also going to come back and do her own episode. So she gets like an episode and a half, totally made out. But it was Matt and Janina and Asif and myself. Jonah was off shooting something. And so it was just the four of us. And a riff-tastic episode of the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 366.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Headphones? Yeah, you can have headphones.
You don't have to have headphones if you don't like having your ears covered by things. I think Katie's recording. Isn't that nice?
You sound much better.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's really great.
I'm constantly looking for ways to improve the quality
listen
and
to this
timbre
of your voice.
My voice. Oh. Yeah.
Or just your face, because you look good with headphones on.
I appreciate that.
No, you like look like you're total like...
Like an old broadcaster?
Yeah, like you're very...
If we put a newsy hat on you,
yeah,
you could...
KXWB, News Hour.
Yeah. Tell me about Pearl Harbor, buddy.
You totally, like... not everyone can wear headphones.
That's a weird thing. Not everyone can wear headphones. You, my friend, have a head for headphones.
Yeah, you really do. I don't know what that means. And I've never said that to anyone before.
No, I appreciate that. I'm glad this is a day of firsts. Are you in town working on something now, or do you live in Los Angeles, or what?
No,
what's
I live
going
in
on?
New York.
What are you doing on the left coast?
The Daily Show.
This is
right
started
oh,
already.
Started. Oh, okay, so whoa, I'm here because I did this movie called The Internship, which premiered the other night, and I came out for the big gala party.
Yes. That'll be the Luke Wilson.
Owen.
Owen. Did I say Luke?
Yes.
Luke is the.
Maybe
other
I'm
one.
Trying to throw some love to Luke.
Well, you know, I appreciate that. Except, just factually, he's not in the film.
Well, why couldn't you put him in the movie so that it would justify my bit?
Well, Google it.
You know, if it would be interesting if the world worked in that kind of wormhole fashion, where you could actually.
Didn't
you
ever just was wrong on this bit? Could you go back and make that happen?
Like, in order to make this bit work, that'd didn't be you like ever a real cool movie?
Didn't you ever see Dark City? That was a movie. It was called Dark City. Didn't you see Dark City where Rufus Sewell could manipulate the city?
Oh,
with his
right,
brain
yeah, yeah. It but it'd be good if it was like if the hero was like. You know, a comedian or something who like made jokes and then went back and justified his bad jokes.
And then you would come back and it would kill.
Then everyone would just have dicks on their cheeks and right, exactly. There would just be dicks on everything.
What's with all the dicks in everyone's cheeks?
What's with all these dicks that are farting then, all the time? Yeah. Like that's what would happen.
Would be like, and people would be like, oh my God, we totally understand that.
Dark comedy city.
Comedy is from shared experiences and you can make everyone share the experience of having a dick on their face.
Yeah, exactly.
Cause you know it's the people with face dicks. Are you still working on Daily Show right now, or are you on a break, or what?
I am not actually at the Daily Show right now, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Unless I go back in my wormhole.
Because I'm not Jon Stewart. We haven't justified.
We haven't justified. Yeah, but you could be. I could go all the way back to the birth of Jon Stewart.
Yep.
And
put
and,
my dad's and,
yes,
semen
exactly.
in there. That would
I
be
could
a very
things.
I feel like gross
that's
for
the
you.
Theme
you
of
went
this
way too far back. So you could have done something else to make that different. Instead of eliminating him from existence.
No, he would still exist. He would just be maybe called Chris.
Yeah.
Oh,
it'd be like a sliding doors thing.
Sliding doors thing. You would suddenly like exist in his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he would be sitting here.
I would have hosted You Wrote It, You Watched on MTV. John would have done Singled Out.
Exactly.
I missed that episode of Sliders.
Did you ever see You Wrote It, You Watch It?
Yeah.
You did watch that show?
Yeah, that's where The State came from.
It was kind of where The State came
from. No, it's not kind of. It's exactly,
exactly
where
The State came from. But it is so interesting now to see, you know, because when I think of John Stewart, it's I always kind of picture the guy in the 90s gas station jacket,
right?
Sort of smarmy,
yeah,
like hosting
Canadian.
Well, he
tuxedo.
Still dresses like that off camera,
yeah.
Just you know, and but yes, I know what you mean. Like, 'cause I first saw him when he was doing his MTV show, and you know, what was the one about the. You like picked a video and then
You Wrote It, You Watch It.
You Wrote It, You Watch It. That's it. Yeah. And so I sort of knew him from that, you know, and then now he's become this other.
And then he was a late night talk show. I mean, like
the
actual talk show.
The old Jon Stewart show.
Yeah.
Which was just him like talking to like, you know, actors who he hates talking to now.
Right. Now he has a choice.
Now he has a choice and he chooses not to talk to actors.
But isn't it interesting to see just the evolution of someone's career to see that, you know, because when I saw John, and particularly if you watch any of his stand-up from the late 90s, he's not a particularly political comedian. He's very much just a, you know, like an observational, like here's some silly, stupid things.
Right.
To be like a force
in
political voice.
Yeah.
A satirist. Like that's sort of an interesting.
Well, I mean, yes. I don't know how that happened.
This looks like your friend.
Oh, this is my friend.
Hello. That's nice.
This is should we acknowledge the fact that my friend just walked in?
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
We know who you are. We both worked at G4 a long time ago,
yeah,
and you did
I've
stuff
never
on
met
Attack
either
of the Show.
I met you, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, we met. Yeah,
yeah
we met.
We met, but I've never met you.
No, I'm Chris.
Janina.
Nice to meet you.
Hi. I'm Austin. How are you?
I've seen your fun, nerdy tweets, and you're wearing a BSG shirt, and I'm excited about the next season
Get
of True
on
Blood.
The thing.
Yay!
beat
Colin.
Joe Manganiello on this podcast. He's coming on in a week.
Oh, snap. Suck it, Joe.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't say that.
Janine was in the last week of guests, I believe.
I was the last official live interview. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you break the show?
I broke it.
What did you do that
for? It was me, obviously.
Why did you do
Basically,
that?
Basically, I guest hosted and then it got canceled.
I guest hosted and then it got canceled. Actually, correction, Horatio Sanz was guest hosting the week we got canceled.
That's so sad.
And then...
Okay, sorry, I keep talking to Asif. He's very important.
Oh, well, no, actually, I think we were done.
Yeah, we were just talking
about... Oh, great,
all right. That we wrapped up.
We were just talking about you anyway.
We were just like, I was like, my friend is showing up later, so... anyway, so what were we talking about? Like Jon Stewart.
What were we just talking about?
You know what I love? I love talking about Jon Stewart.
Who doesn't?
I love talking.
We were just talking about comedy evolution. What is your comedy? What is your background?
What do you mean, my ethnic background?
No. What is stand-up, it? Sketch.
You were born in Bombay, right?
I was born in Mumbai.
I thought I read that about you on.
No,
online.
No, no. I was born there.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right.
Oh, good.
But it's
he's
just called
from
Mumbai.
Tampa.
Now. Right. And then I went to like England. Because my parents moved to England when I was one.
Yeah.
And then I, moved to Tampa when I was in high school.
Best Indian food of the planet, London. Kensington.
Tampa.
Actually, you know what? The best Indian food on the planet, I'll tell you where it is. I used to say it was London, but now it's the Google campus.
What?
In where is that? Mountain View?
Palo Alto?
And rightly where? So, since we're probably about half the population
well,
there.
We shot on the Google campus, and it's like there is... free food everywhere, first of all. And in the cafeteria, which is the size
of a
small...
free food in the cafeteria?
All the food.
Oh, wait, you don't know this?
You have no fucking idea.
Well, hang on.
You need to
I
Google.
I work for Apple.
Okay.
Apple doesn't...
And we would have to go... And I was behind Steve Jobs buying
Apple,
sushi.
Right.
Yeah.
He had to pull money out of his pocket.
Yeah, no, that's like a thing at Apple. Actually, just read this piece on the fact that Apple's whole culture is like, you should feel... Can we swear?
Yes.
You should feel fucking privileged to work at Apple. Whereas Google, it's like, never leave. You should be happy here. Because the only thing that's illegal is to put a bed underneath the desk or like in the work environment.
And murder.
Oh, murder too.
Yeah.
Don't murder anyone.
No,
but
it's not
but the well, I, it's illegal to have a sleeping place on or in the work environment. It's the only thing that's illegal.
Really? That's illegal?
So it's illegal.
Wow. What if your job is like at a mattress factory?
In Google.
In Google? I don't know.
In Google.
Lines blurred.
It's genius because basically what they do is they see a bunch of young enterprising minds graduating college and they go, hey, how would you like to continue feeling like you're in college?
Yeah.
Right.
But we'll pay you and give you all the free food you want.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So
right.
The thing is, in the cafeteria, you've got one main counter where they have on one side just like free Indian food. And it's like amazing Indian food, like from India.
Like
Indian food.
Somebody got their auntie a job.
Right.
And, like,
it's like
she
this,
works
like,
there.
There's like an Indian mom like cooking back there. And then on the other
Hardcore.
Side of the counter is Chinese food. And so you've got 10 billion Indian people and 10
greatest,
billion and one Chinese people.
The greatest programming minds.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
absolutely.
All...
Absolutely.
And then you've got like three white guys in the corner eating pizza. Like it's like literally like that is the cafeteria at Google. At the
And rightly so.
Yeah. So it shows you where the world is
should
going.
Should I be ashamed as a Caucasian to order chicken tikka masala, which is probably the most Western tasting...
Here's where that sentence should end. Should I be ashamed to be a Caucasian?
Yes. That is implied.
That's where that sentence should
That
end.
Is implied. That is absolutely implied.
Let me rephrase the question for you.
And then that's where the non-Caucasian comes in.
Should
I
feel more?
Here's why you should be ashamed.
Should I feel more shame than normal, other than for just being a Caucasian?
Yes, yes.
What were you? No, sorry. What was your question?
It's trying to figure out like what the most obvious menu item is within every culture.
Right.
You
and
know?
So chicken tikka masala. Let me tell you something. So chicken tikka masala is not actually an Indian dish.
See, that's what I was afraid of.
So chicken tikka masala, I know. You weren't afraid of that. Let's admit it.
I was afraid of it.
No,
Caucasian.
No, I was afraid of it.
He was a little afraid.
I was a little afraid.
Here's the thing. Chicken tikka masala was actually made by an Indian Englishman who was very enterprising and decided he was going to make a dish that was for Western palates.
That's like sushi
Indian
rolls.
Flavors.
Like a California roll.
Like
yeah,
a California
exactly,
roll.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So chicken tikka masala, which is probably the most famous Indian dish, By the way, when I just got back from India, I was shooting with John Hamm of Mad Men.
Wait, you haven't covered this yet?
No, oh, the robot.
This is what
started.
I'm trying to listen to.
You're doing the robotic arm movie.
Okay.
Yes. Well, not robotic, but million dollar.
Not like Go Go Gadget. Yeah, more
was,
like.
I was like, wow, there's a robot in our film.
Oh, I thought it was about a robot arm.
No. It's about these baseball players.
Oh, see, that's you lost
totally
me.
Totally different movie.
Totally lost me. Yeah.
Wait, but they have maybe playing cricket.
Robotic baseball players.
I was like, it's $1 Million Baby.
$1 Million Baby.
Bionic Woman.
Yes.
There we go. I want to see that.
So I sat next to John Hamm as he ate his first chicken tikka masala.
He'd never had it before?
I know. And I was
He's from St. Louis.
I don't think maybe he has had it and doesn't know that he had it because I can't imagine.
He lives
imagine.
In New York, does it? No, he
no,
lives,
he
here.
Lives here. But the thing is, he was like, this is really good. And I was like, yeah, it's chicken tikka masala. And he was like, wow, it's really good. And I was like, you've never had chicken tikka masala, have you? And he's like, I don't know. Maybe I have. I don't get out much. You know,
correction, John. You get out plenty.
It's basically chicken with tomato soup on it.
Yeah.
It's basically what it is.
Yeah, it is really. And a little yogurt in there, you know. But it's like basically, yeah. So that is the quintessential Indian dish. They even serve at craft services in India, apparently.
They do now.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, interesting, because they know that there's a bunch of Westerners in the country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is a good what is your favorite dish? What's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish,
Laddus
of all time.
Yeah,
a gyro.
Nice.
do you like gyro?
No, it's a good choice.
A lamb gyro with with the yogurt thing and the thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the pita.
Yeah. Yes. Describe it.
That's delicious.
Oh, it's getting weird.
Why? I don't understand. We're just dudes talking about eating delicious lamb dishes.
Yes, that's right.
Where the yogurt just drips down the side.
Oh, just have the, yeah. Oh, keep talking, Chris. Yeah, keep talking. Yeah.
How was? Are you done shooting Million Dollar Arm?
No, I'm not even. We did 2 weeks in India, and now we do 5 weeks in Atlanta. So I'm going to Atlanta.
Because there's nothing that reads like India.
As Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta's very versatile.
It's very hot, I'll tell you. Yeah. It's very hot in Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta.
It's about
even Indians are like, oh, it's hot here. Wow, it's really hot.
It's about to be that time of year, too. Actually, it's just starting to be that time of year.
Yeah, we're going to get there when it's
because all the Walking Dead people are down there now.
Actually, I just talked to a friend of mine.
They didn't start off Walking Dead.
I just talked to a friend of mine who's Indian who's on the set right now.
Who?
I don't probably Wait. Can't say.
Wait, on which set?
On the Walking Dead set.
Oh.
And I'll show you who it is, but
it's none of the three phones you just touched.
Probably shouldn't know. I know.
I probably shouldn't know.
I just touched 72 iPhones.
I personally shouldn't know?
I don't think the world that's listening is allowed to.
Oh.
No.
Wait, let me see now. What is it?
You can't read it?
I can't read that.
Oh. Shit, hold on. Forget it. I'm showing everybody else.
Okay.
It's this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is it?
But you can't.
But I don't know, so I'm not going to
bust
his spot.
I wouldn't say anything.
Yeah, but that's awesome.
Yep.
It's about time.
I totally was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're
here. Oh, he's doing Walking Dead?
Your tongue. What happened to your tongue?
Can we say his name?
No.
Cal Penn.
It's Cal Penn, obviously.
Let's just start rumors.
Yeah, let's start. Oh, yeah. So you guys, there's an Indian. His name is...
Naveen Andrews.
Naveen Andrews is working on The Walking Dead right now. It's so weird.
Yeah, everybody. That's right.
That's who it is.
Tweet that.
Vijay Singh Naveen is Andrews. Giving up golf.
Tweet.
No, it's...
That would be really weird if Vijay Singh
actually,
decided
it's actually
to be on Walking
Fareed Zakaria.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Fareed Zakaria is now a character on Walking Dead. Tweet that.
They've ported Aziz's character from Parks and Rec over...
Yes.
Because they just wanted to create more
just
of that comedy, documentary, office.
How many Indian actors can we come up with? Just like names of Indian actors.
And I know a lot
so
of
many
them
of
too.
Us. I like that you do.
Yeah,
thank
of
you.
Course. Well, that's of course.
Thank you
of
on
course.
Behalf of well, all of us. We thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you.
And Danny Pudu, who's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
In the world.
Oh yeah.
He's from Chicago, so am I.
Are you? Did you grow up in the Chicago comedy scene?
No,
at all?
I moved here and didn't know I could do comedy until somebody told me I was funny, and I still disagree.
That
was my mom. Was like, "You're so funny." Actually, she doesn't sound like that at all.
I just bought a studio. What?
Yeah.
Well, here's a bunch
so
of jobs.
Weird. So, yeah. Here's all the jobs
you're
you
the
want.
Best, sweetie. Oh, thanks,
Can you
mom.
Imagine? Can you imagine?
I'll take it.
But go Indians.
Yeah, I love Terry Francona and what he's doing with the club this
year.
Yeah,
I know.
He's really
gonna go.
Turn it around. They're in first place.
Cleveland. All right.
No, that's good. You're taking it back to his baseball movie.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Let's
just see. You were talking a little bit about your comedy background, but we didn't.
I was talking about
your comedy background.
So my comedy. Yeah, that is my comedy background. I basically did theater and improv and was doing sort of street theater. I came out of college and was more doing like improv and...
Where'd you go to college?
USF, University of South Florida.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, the University of no degree. So
100
basically, yeah, yeah, nice. Yeah. Well done. Oh. Yes. So, I came out of that, and then I was sort of came to New York and was doing theater and on Broadway and did a Merchant Ivory film and did a one-man show.
Now say the neon lights are bright.
On Broadway. Yes.
Is it
you got to say that with a much baser sort of...
Hold on, the stuff that he's not telling you is that he is an Obie Award-winning playwright. I'm being serious right now.
Talking over you.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Short Circuit 2, that's how they find him.
Isn't it? I thought it was Roxanne.
No, they type in, they got to give directions, so they put in Broadway.
Oh, no, but there's a Roxanne reference.
Roxanne!
No, maybe it's not Roxanne.
The movie Roxanne?
No, yeah, in Short Circuit.
Do you remember that great Indian actor, Fisher Stevens?
Oh.
The best. They couldn't find anyone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God.
Academy
really,
Award
they couldn't
winner.
Find one Indian actor?
No, back then there were none.
Back then there were none.
That was it?
There were no Indians in the 80s.
At all.
Not even in India.
You're relatively new.
In India, he was playing Indians. In Bollywood, they found Fisher Stevens in Bollywood.
Yeah.
Who knew?
He was a character actor in like Bollywood movies.
And then they brought him over.
Brought him here, and people were like, he's not Indian. And the Indians were like, we know. Yeah. But he's really, really good.
But you take
him. He's so fucking talented at playing an Indian that even we use him as an Indian.
And he had sex with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know.
Apparently.
I actually,
he did?
You know,
I think
he did,
so.
Yeah.
They were in a couple, I think.
Yeah. They were. No, I know Fisher, and he did have sex with Michelle Pfeiffer.
did he let you know about it?
More than once.
Now, describe it the way you did the
Which
Lamb
I
Hero.
Think is the impressive part.
Yes.
He had sex with him more than
Just
once.
Just more than once.
Yes.
That's it's not.
He wrapped that sex
It's not
in
that
a
he
pita.
Had sex with Michelle Pfeiffer. It's he had a sex with her again.
There was
again,
she was a repeat customer.
Yes. She was a repeat customer.
Yeah, that's how you know.
This episode's going to be hard to listen to, I think. We're going all over the place.
Hey, fuck it. You know what? It can be totally not.
Do you edit this?
No.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Oh. Awesome. Hold on. Let me say this for you because you're not doing it. So Asif Manvi is an award-winning playwright. And, is writing a book.
I'm writing a book.
And
what don't you?
It should be taking really fucking seriously because he's a great writer.
Oh, thank
and you. Just kind of does this comedy thing, but is actually like a hardcore writer.
Serious writer.
So there.
I'm writing.
Where do I get a Janina to take around with me?
I know.
Well, the thing about Matt is really, he's very...
Well, first of all,
the thing about Matt
have...
is he's really good in bed. He's really good in bed.
First of all, you have that stuff that she would be willing to brag about.
But I've heard he's really good in bed.
You have to have stuff that she'd be willing to brag about.
Very.
She would brag
about.
Oh.
No, I actually still do other things. I mean, I love doing the Daily Show, and I, you know, it is an amazing gig. But I get to do like movies, and I did a play last fall at Lincoln Center called Disgraced, which won the Pulitzer.
Which I don't know anybody who won a Pulitzer, and you like failed to tell me that, and then we're on a text conversation.
Well, it's weird because like I was in the play, I didn't write the play, but you know we won the Pulitzer.
Yeah, but it's all about your character. You're the dude,
and so it's a brilliantly written play by Ayad Akhtar, who is a brilliant playwright, and I got to play the lead in this play about a Pakistani American lawyer whose life falls apart.
But you're Indian. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's weird, right? It's strange. I'm Indian, and yet I played a Pakistani.
And Kumail's going to flip out when he hears
this.
He
is. Well, the thing is, he's from the Indian part of Pakistan. So that's
why that works.
That's
why.
So
how does that work?
Well, there's a thing
called
the partition.
You got to go back before the British. No.
Yeah.
Well, I've had that conversation with Kumail, and I've had the conversation with Danny as well about
about Pakistani versus Indian.
Well, no. Just the idea of of American. the idea of like America being like, you can play any. It's all fine.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like, okay, but you know.
Well, Indians and Pakistanis can actually because we were all one people. It's like an American.
Yeah, it's like a New Hampshire guy playing a Massachusetts guy. It works.
Exactly. But by the way, hold on, y'all.
What?
Do Irish people only play Irish people?
Yes, that's a law. They are only allowed to play each other.
Here's a fun thing. If you ever rewatch Die Another Day, which is Pierce Brosnan's last movie, he doesn't give a fuck about keeping his English accent anymore.
God, really?
His Irish slips
right
in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing.
That's funny.
Yeah. Rewatch
I mean, if Hugh Laurie can play an American.
She cannot stare at
Pierce, cut, please. That is entirely too Irish. Awesome, Domino 7.
It's not. It is
Domino
not.
7.
I'm Bond.
Where's
James
me Aston Martin?
Bond.
James Bond.
How many Bond movies did he do? Like one? Did he
three.
Do one?
No. Three?
Three?
No, guys, come on. He did four.
Oh, sorry.
He did four Bond movies.
He did GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, World's Not Enough, and Die Another Day.
Oh, yeah. I just saw Skyfall on the plane.
On him.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did too.
I was like, oh, I thought he was so hot.
I thought he was
still
a girl.
Very
I thought
handsome.
He was female for like the
he's
longest
still
time.
Really?
Very
yeah.
handsome.
I thought he was just a very
Remington Steele. That's a good fucking name.
He was supposed to be Bond, but then couldn't get out of the Remington Steele contract, so then they gave it to Timothy
right.
Dalton.
That's oh, exactly is that what
right.
happened?
And then
oh.
he got to right. circle back around.
Oh.
This is the podcast where we talk about no one in this room.
Are you supposed to talk about people in the room?
No.
There are no rules.
This is the Pierce Brosnanist podcast.
Oh, yes.
It's about time. Well, guys, interesting story about that. It was the 60th day, the final day that he was out and free on his
remember
contract.
When he choked on that shrimp in Mrs. Doubtfire? Not a dry eye in the house.
Stew. He played Stew in that movie.
Listen, I just need to say, go see The Internship opening June 7th.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Internship starring Vince Vaughn and Miss Owen Wilson opening on June 7th.
Miss Owen Wilson.
I just need to say that.
Definitely not Luke Wilson.
Not Luke Wilson. Owen Wilson,
no,
his sister.
No, it's Owen Wilson, man.
He's really pretty
oh my
sister.
Gosh, that was quite good,
oh,
actually.
Oh, I've been working on it. You just
it's almost Kermit.
Oh, that's
it
why
is
you,
almost Kermit.
Okay, that's why you brought up Luke Wilson, isn't it? Just so you could do your Luke Wilson
no,
impression.
That's Owen.
No, that's Owen.
That's not Owen.
It's Owen,
do it,
man.
Owen. Do it.
Hey,
do
man,
it.
It's great. We got this movie coming out, which
that's
is almost
good.
Kermit.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke is just like, hey, I'm a guy. Like, he's, mm-hmm. He doesn't have
right,
that.
Oh, you know what was on TV the other day?
What was
I was just
be?
In Alabama flipping through the five channels that were available, and Blonde Ambition featuring Luke Wilson with Jessica...
Tandy?
No.
What's
wrong
was,
with me?
Yeah, it
was
where Jessica they tried Tandy. To remake Harold and Maude.
What's that? What's her name? Simpson.
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even
Luke?
Know this movie
yes.
that you're
what
talking
is this
about.
Movie?
Yes.
It's called Blonde
she's
Ambition.
She's a girl living in the South, and her boyfriend moves to the big city, and she follows him, and then she realizes that he's cheating on her, and then suddenly she crashes into Owen Wilson. Literally, it's a meet cute. And then I was like, I can't do this.
It's how much? Did, how much of it did you get through?
About 8 minutes.
Oh. And that
and
was
all
it.
That,
wow, you
all
can't
that
have the entire plot. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically like staying on the back of a Bronco in a rodeo. It's like, I can hold on for
yeah.
8 minutes.
It's
yeah.
8 seconds, Chris. Don't kill the rodeo guys.
Oh,
I mean,
is that not?
You can't stay on a fucking Bronco for
eight minutes.
If
unless,
you're really
unless,
good, you
unless
can.
Unless she's
unless
really,
you
really
want...
hot.
unless you have the soothing Owen Wilson voice. Oh, come on, horsey, calm it down.
Yeah, but see, it was the other Wilson.
It was Luke. Yeah,
the other Wilson. I'd yeah. watch that movie.
Oh,
all right,
that's
all
funny.
Right.
I thought it was actually
it'd be,
just about the volleyball.
No, it'd be Luke, Owen, and the volleyball.
Yes.
Just the three.
And the volleyball is the other Wilson.
The Wilsons.
Why has that not been a sketch yet?
I don't
just
know.
The three
we
of
just
them.
Wrote
Let's
it.
Do
we
that.
Just wrote it.
Let's do that.
The three of them. And
Wilson keeps getting the roles that Luke and Owen were supposed to get.
And then Dennis the Menace shoots a rock through the window.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Walter Matthau is no longer with us.
No, but we dig him up and.
Right. Right.
Zombie Walter Matthau.
Zombie Walter Matthau.
Why not Zombie Odd Couple? They're doing all the like the old, you know, like,
Zod Couple.
Zod Couple. The Zod.
It would just be like, wasn't there a president?
That was Man of
wasn't
Steel.
Wasn't there a President Wilson?
Yes.
There was. Yeah,
Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah,
Woodrow Wilson.
He made Flag Day in 1919.
And Woodrow Wilson would play Mr. Wilson.
Yeah,
I love
it.
I mean, if we're digging up Grandpa Woodrow Wilson, that's the one to go.
Grandpa
with.
Woody Wilson.
Woody Wilson. Woody Wilson.
Problem solved.
Done.
We did it.
Done.
But
great,
we're not
guys.
Done yet.
Good
okay,
job.
Okay, keep going.
This is a 4-hour podcast.
Is it really?
Oh, great.
No. I have to go pee.
No. Do you have to pee right now?
Again. No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, your 4 ounces of water didn't really do anything for you? Who is this for?
Janina, would you care for a water nub?
Water nubbin? Yes, please.
This is lit. I'm holding. It's 8 ounces. This does
I can
not seem like 8 ounces.
With my
it
mind.
Is 8 ounces. Of water.
This is a serving of water.
Yeah. If you put it on your head, you'll know. If you pour it on your head, you'll be like,
it's
oh, that's what it is.
Wow.
Now we just listen to Janina drink water.
No, she's doing it, leaning away from
like,
the mic.
Like, she's like,
pound it! Pound it!
She just,
woo!
Awesome.
Getting crazy, boys.
You better not be driving.
I took an Uber here. Don't worry about it.
Give me your keys. Oh, it's the best. Uber's the best.
It Uber's is. Fantastic.
Navigate.
Yeah.
I just navigated London it with does. Uber. It
really?
Because
you know that's Uber nice. Sucks in New York. You can't get.
No, it's
there.
Not
yeah,
true at
no,
all.
Because no, because it does.
I use the shit out of it.
Really?
When?
The last three times I've been to New York, I tried to do it,
it's like that location is inaccessible for the
Uber. That person sounded
There was a period of time, I think like 6 months ago, for a while, where Uber was not allowed in New York.
Yeah.
You know what they're doing in New York? You know what they're doing in New York now that I'm very excited about is that now we have the bicycles. We have the
Bikes like Toronto.
Yeah, the rental bikes where they have these areas where you can, and there's one actually right outside the Daily Show.
Oh, that's perfect.
So like you can rent a bike. And then you put in like, you know, $2 or whatever in the thing.
And then get hit on it.
And then
when they pick up the ambulance, hospital, it's right near your hotel.
Exactly, yes. So, no, it's very exciting. I'm like totally...
Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd bicycle in New York.
Really?
It's terrifying. Although, would you rather bicycle, New York or Los Angeles?
Would you rather
neither
bicycle in?
Neither.
You know, L.A. seems much more dangerous to bicycle in.
Have your butthole chewed off by an alligator. Because that sounds way more fun than riding a bicycle in Los Angeles where people don't fucking pay attention.
If I have an alligator encounter and I've just lost my butthole, I'm okay with that.
If an alligator comes for your butthole...
Right.
It's a very specific alligator.
A very specific alligator who really knows what he wants.
Come on.
And also, I think you do... I think you've gotten off easy if the alligator just eats your butthole.
My brain just invented the alligator fetish porn.
If the alligator's like, don't worry, I'm just going for your butthole, you probably want to be like, okay, all right, just take the butthole and go.
Your first reaction wouldn't be, talking alligator. It would just be like, all right, let's talk through this.
Look, here's the thing.
I can
probably live without the butthole.
Okay. I think honestly,
because this will make a great story. There's no question this will make a great
honestly,
story.
Honestly, gonna have like a colostomy bag on the side of you for the rest of your life.
Made out of alligators.
Yeah, exactly. And people will be like, why do you have a colostomy bag? Well, an alligator. I was riding my bike on the 4, and an alligator came up.
One of them butthole alligators came up and asked
to take my butthole.
Yep.
And so, I think I think that you wouldn't be if an alligator talked to you.
Sure.
Yes.
In that situation, your immediate reaction would not be a talking alligator. It would be, I better reason with this alligator.
Right.
Because it's smarter than all the alligators.
Yes. Yeah. But I think if we're thinking physiologically that an alligator does not have articulating lips, and so...
What if it's like a Teenage Mutant Ninja alligator? At that point, I would be like, am I about to be your April?
Then you would only be a problem if you had a pizza-flavored butthole. Because that's what they
listen,
love.
There are some people who do.
Some people
let's
have
just
pizza
admit
flavored
that.
Buttholes.
I'm so glad someone was brave enough to say it.
Unintentionally, so. But
let's just admit
guys,
that.
Guys, let's talk about pepperoni pizza-flavored combos and how they don't actually taste like pizza. I don't get it. I don't understand why. Every time they try to make pepperoni pizza-flavored potato chip, it just never tastes
like
pizza.
Thanks, Andy Rooney. Now let's talk about the post office.
What's up with stamps?
I'm a zombie. Anyway, I would like to talk seriously about your...
Let's talk seriously, yes. Okay. Everybody shut up.
I just can't get back there now. I can't get back there.
Go ahead, because we could just be
on an endless... This is just like a zoetrope of riffs.
Right. So let's
the entire time.
Fine, let's go.
But I am very interested to hear about your career as a playwright. Your career.
Oh,
all
right.
Hold on. This is what I want to know. Or at least what I want you to talk about.
One-on-one with Janina.
No, not with me.
I wish I brought my friends to the podcast just to talk to them.
The thing that's interesting about Ossoff is that he somehow goes between really dramatic movies and really comedic stuff. So why do you think that is?
Why is that interesting?
Because he's an actor.
Don't answer for him. Let the dude answer.
I don't know if he would say that,
though. Next question.
But he wouldn't say it that way. He wouldn't be able to say that himself.
No, I would say because I'm a Pisces. And Pisceans. Oh, no, you don't want to talk about that. No, I do. I like to go between dramatic stuff and comedic stuff, and it's kind of important to me. Like, I feel like it's the way I stay sane, because people think I'm a comedian now because I've been on The Daily Show for like 7 years. And so people, you know, either think I'm a comedian or a journalist, and they're like, I've had people actually say to me like, yeah, you're an actor. I thought you were a journalist. One guy actually said, I just thought you were like a smart dude who was like on TV.
Well, because when people watch things, they have just enough room in their brain to paint you in one dimension.
Right.
And so they don't.
Right. They don't think about it that much.
Because those same people might see you in a movie, and they might not even make the connection that it's you.
Yeah. That's happened
when you
too.
Paint someone one dimensionally, you're just painting a line.
You're just painting a line, which you can't perceive as a line because everything is on that plane.
Here's the thing: when you paint someone, it's very annoying for that person.
Unless they're naked and wearing the heart of the ocean. Which
you paint a line on somebody,
hand again,
and they're all automatically they're pissed off. So yeah, so I do go, I toggle between.
Who is the weirdest person that has come up to you and been like, "I love your work on The Daily Show, man"?
Who's the weirdest?
Weirdest.
Like famous person?
Yeah, well, just,
or
like,
just like a
it
weird...
could be an astronaut. It could be.
I'm a butthole alligator. I noticed on The Daily Show, and I.
Oh,
a woman,
butthole
a woman
alligator.
Came up to me on the plane once, and that was not weird. She wasn't weird, but it was a weird situation. Like, she was like on the plane, and like it, sort of they were trying to get through with the, you know, the food cart.
Okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
She like wanted me to like sign an autograph for her on the plane, and then it was like weird because everybody on the plane was like, "Why did that woman just like come over to you and ask for your autograph?" And then I had to like explain to the whole people around me, you know what I mean? So
then
that,
you have to start listing like, your IMDb page.
And then
I would have been like, "She's my banker."
Right, and then this woman, and then the other weird thing is also when people are like, "So, you went to school with my brother-in-law?"
Yes, because you're in their head somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. and that's also weird.
I think you probably get this as well because I get this, which is people go, "Hey, what are you in?"
Yeah, yeah,
and they're like, "Oh, I don't, no, come on, tell me." And then
Calvin
you start
Klein's?
Listening, they're like, "No, no,
yeah, that's annoying.
No, I don't know."
I've started actually. Doing this slick move where I laugh and I go, "Wait, am I telling you my resume now?" I'm sorry, I didn't know what was going on in this social exchange.
I'll have it printed out.
And then I laugh, and then they go,
"But then you don't."
And then I just
it.
Move on. Anyway, about that thing we were going to talk about that has nothing to do with me.
Hashtag celebrities bitching.
Hashtagging outside Twitter.
There you go.
You.
I don't know what just happened.
Do you like to? Because I think one of the most boring things about being an actor is that you're sitting in a trailer most of the time. So is that where you write, or do you have to separate those two experiences?
No, that's where I watch porn. Where I write is
obviously
where is at home. I'm writing this book right now, and it's sort of like the hardest thing I've ever done. It's kind of, you know, writing a
what kind series. Of book, fiction,
it's
nonfiction,
essays, like David Sedaris style. Mm-hmm. Sort of essays.
So you're not even compiling previously written ones, or you're just actually just going for it?
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you mean, like previous ones that I've
written? Well, you know, like sometimes like Klosterman will like have a bunch of essays. He's like had stuff in Spain and stuff like that. He'll put it together in a compilation.
Just, no. I don't have any essays.
I don't know if you're writing some yet.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm basically just starting.
That sounds
from
terribly
scratch.
Daunting.
It is. And I was like, I can totally do this. It's easy because I have a lot of good thoughts in my head. And then I realized all those thoughts constitute like about 5 pages.
Oh, wow.
And then I was like, now I have no thoughts left. I have to make some new thoughts.
My brain is empty. It's on this page.
So, yeah. So it's, it's going to be out next year at some point.
Can I ask you a mildly serious question?
Yeah, mildly.
So you're from India, where you are ethnically the majority.
Right.
And then when you, I'm asking this because I just went to London and Scotland, and
you were ethnically the majority there.
Well, skin tone but culturally, no.
Oh, because...
And so when people, even I find if I go to like Montreal, I almost feel a little like.
Are you Canadian?
No, I'm from here.
Oh, okay.
But I still, you know, if I do like a comedy festival in Montreal, it's almost feeling a little bit of responsibility to represent all of my country another country, like as best as possible.
Yeah.
Because there are, you know, there are preconceived notions certainly about Americans, and I always try to be extra polite and not loud.
I just try to order in French when I'm in Montreal.
I always just say, désolé, je suis un Américain stupide.
I just got back from India, right? Because I was just shitting in India. And so it's weird because when I go to India, so I have that thing here, right? Where I'm sort of always feeling like, culturally in some level, because especially when you're on TV or whatever, like you're representing the minority that you are part of, and also like having grown up Muslim, like you're sort of representing Muslims as well as South Asians and stuff. And then you go to India and, you know, you realize that like India is actually made up of like a myriad of people, like who have different, it's a very complicated
beliefs
sort of,
and languages.
Yeah, it's not a homogenous place in any way at all. Like, you know, and nobody cares about what, you know, you, and it's like, and then I end up being sort of like an American. Like I end up sort of representing America in some weird way, you know, to like the Indians there,
yeah,
who are looking at me like, so you live in America, like, you know, like, why do you people, you know, like, I think somebody once said to me, well, they did when I was just there, we were talking about like Americans versus Indians, and this Indian actor on the set, he was like, Americans, you have a pill for everything. Everything, every problem you have, you've developed a pill for it. And I was kind of like, yeah, because the pills work.
You're welcome.
But it was kind of true, and so you're sort of, you know, you're sitting in both places at the same time.
So culturally,
time.
where does your identity, do you feel? Or is
feel like my identity is on a fence, and, mm-hmm. and that is really kind of what my book is about, and like all of my work is really about that cultural fence between
Tampa and St. Pete.
Tampa and St. Pete, where you've kind of that is, and if you've been to St. Pete,
sure.
you know what I'm talking about. There's no culture there, and there's a lot of culture in Tampa.
Yeah, it's just Busch Gardens or the Devil Rays. Yeah, I mean, what exactly. are you gonna do?
So, yeah, you know, you sit on, and that's kind of what I do on The Daily Show when I feel the most effective on The Daily Show is when I'm on that fence between cultures, sort of speaking as a Westerner and an Easterner at the same time, and inside and outside at the same time, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So that's what I feel like my identity is, really.
My and favorite thing that they do on The Daily Show, do they do this for every correspondent?
Moment of Zen? Oh, no.
Is when they change the chyron underneath your
Oh, just like randomly, like whatever
like,
it is.
Official.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, people always say, like, so you're the senior Muslim correspondent. I'm like, yeah, this week.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then next week, it'll be John Oliver who will be the senior Muslim correspondent. So, you know, it's kind of that. We just change it. You know, we're not a real news show.
Are you past the point now where you still would have to explain to people, like, it's a satire. The show's a comedy show. It's not, because I know in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
And there was even almost a little veil of...
There was no question when Craig Kilborn was on what kind of show it was. There was a zero question.
And then he left that, and the show got popular, and then he went to Late Night, and then he left that, and then that show got popular. But I know.
Kilby!
Certainly a lot of what sort of helped function the Daily Show function in the beginning was that people kind of didn't realize that they were
on a
comedy show. Or
right. Well, in the days of Carell and stuff, like when they used to go interview people, it was, you know, they thought it was a real news show. So it was in a weird way easier for them to sort of pull the trick, you know, because they were. But now we actually tell people, you know, look, we're a comedy show, and often people know who we are. But what's crazy is that we end up talking to people who nobody else is going to talk to. So you will find that people
Example?
Will still, like the woman out here in California, the hairdresser who thought her children were going to be turned into communists by teaching them Chinese in school. So that's a real story, right? And we actually talked to this woman who no other media outlet is speaking to.
Yeah.
And she's got a lot of things that she's read on the internet.
And she's not alone, by the way. She's not alone.
Right. So the thing is that, like, you know, or the group, again, out in California for some reason, but the group of parents who are suing an elementary school out here because
they're
doing
yoga.
Yeah, because they think that yoga is going to turn their children into Hindus.
Lawsuit.
So, and
the
they
fuck?
Have a real lawsuit. And we were going to, actually, I was going to do the story on the show, and then we couldn't, the lawyers for the parents decided to, like, not allow
it. Wise decision.
And here's the crazy thing, though. The thing is, and this is what our take was, is that the crazy thing about that is that in America, yoga is the whitest thing.
Yes.
You can
see.
White. You're totally There's right.
There's no fucking Hindu people in a yoga studio ever that I've been to.
Yeah.
Ever. And so it's
even
like,
Hatha yoga?
Okay, the hot one. You mean
there's
the,
some like.
There's usually
there's
like
some...
a blonde chick from Berkeley who's mispronouncing it.
No, I was on.
There's some white Sikhs that go to Kundalini.
I was on.
I was in a yoga class the other day here in LA. And
see, so
I'm the only brown person.
But you're
in the
not
yoga.
Hindu. You're Muslim.
Right. I'm Muslim. So, and I'm usually the only brown person in there. And this is true. I was sitting in the back of the class. It was for a Kundalini class that a friend of mine took me to. And these three Punjabi guys with turbans and everything walk in and they throw down. And I'm like, wow.
All
there's
right.
three other Indian people in this yoga class. That's pretty impressive because I never see Indian people in yoga classes. So they throw down their mats and they're like, you know, doing the yoga. And then the girl at the front, she's like, you know what? I'm just going to throw on some music and we all just need to like shake off the day. Just shake it off. And
do some what? Some like 80s calisthenics?
So,
like, are we gonna...
I'm like, all right. So she's going to put on some yoga music and we're going to all like shake around, right?
Oh, no.
So she hits the button and starts to play Bhangra, like Punjabi
like
Bhangra,
club Bhangra
rap. Yeah, like.
God.
And everybody else in the class is like, if this was the video, you would see it. But it's like, shaking it off. And these three Punjabi guys are like, what up? And they just, get up and on one foot and like, they're doing the light bulb. They're like literally.
Now, like, and if you want to know what that's like, drive down Sunset Boulevard at 11 p.m.
Now, what's really fascinating to me about that story is that you experience that in life. Were you to see that in a movie, you'd be like, oh, come the fuck on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that really happened. It happened right here in West
But they
West
were Sikh
Hollywood.
And you were Muslim.
Exactly.
Still no Hindus.
So no Hindus. Sikhs and Muslims go to yoga classes.
Well, I was on a plane on Monday coming back from Nashville, and I overheard the people behind me getting into their seats and talking about having just gone to this yogi to see this amazing yoga instructor guy, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They're talking about, and I'm in my head, I'm painting a picture of the guy. I'm like, okay, this guy's got to be 45 years old, kind of overweight, white, and his wife is probably not. And I turned around, nailed the guy, and the wife was this nice little old Asian lady. That was amazing.
Hold on,
has everybody watched Kumare, right?
Kumare,
right?
Yes.
You've seen it, right?
Vikram Gandhi's movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know him, right?
Yeah, so
I know his brother,
Vikram Gandhi, my friend, who did this movie called Kumare, which basically he dressed up, he did all this research and spent a year dressed as a yogi from this fake town in India.
Oh, I had read about this. Yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
went to Cal. He went to not
How
California.
Old is he? He's like 20, in his 20s.
No,
isn't he?
No, he's like in his 30s. Okay. But he like basically grew a long beard and he wore robes and he went to this place out in Colorado and created a following of devotees. Who,
fake
like,
stretches, fake yoga.
Came up with
fake
like
yoga.
Came up
he's
with complete bullshit.
Too. Like, I'm doing it. This is a visual. So I'm now doing this kind of squat and I'm strumming a guitar.
Right.
Like
exactly.
Air guitar. He's doing air guitar.
But the crazy thing was that like when he actually at the end of the movie when he confesses and it's a really dramatic moment.
Do you really want to tell the ending?
Well,
I feel like you should Netflix it.
I know the ending.
You know the ending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is that when he actually does tell them, what was fascinating to me is that some people were upset and then some people didn't care.
Yeah.
Because
Most didn't care because they
actually had still had found a personal transformation in spite of the fact that it was all just made up stuff.
But the thing that's great, the thing that he did make up, which is totally, in my opinion, true, is that he said the guidance actually comes from you.
Right.
He says all of this is an image.
Oh, he found the arty back door.
He got himself out of it.
It's like looking at the negative lines that I'm not drawing in the picture. Oh fuck. Yeah.
That's the Ed Hardy
Mind
back door.
Blown.
Huh?
Oh God.
It's the lines not in the tiger in the heart.
Oh, yeah. It's the barbed wire not on the cat face.
Oh God.
Did I tell you I want to do a series about Ed Hardy's brother Ned Hardy, and it's just he's just like the nerdiest guy, and it's instead of tiger faces they're just kitties and with barbed wire.
All right, that's fair.
Can we do that?
Nope. We have other places to put.
I'm down.
Do whatever I want.
That's true. You can.
I run a thing.
But I can just watch it fail.
May not fail.
All right, do it.
Now I have to do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Janina's gonna do it. She said she'll do it.
I'm down. I think that shit's funny.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. How's True Blood this season?
Awesome.
I watched the shit out of it.
You know we can't say shit. Enough.
I know.
They don't
I know,
let us
I know.
Say anything.
Maybe the butthole alligator needs to show up and just take a snip out so that they're not so like,
Bring
it around.
You feed that person
Season
pizza.
Season 7 of True Blood, a guy's going to show up who turns into a butthole alligator.
Give an alligator.
We've had alligators. Actually, Tommy turned
into an alligator. I love how now we have a term.
He did.
It's
called butthole alligators.
Give an alligator a butthole.
Now we have a band name. We have a band name.
Oh my God.
The butthole alligators.
We're just
what do you play?
The first single is Pizza.
What do you play in the butthole alligators?
I play my butthole.
What? Wow. Oh yeah, of course. The most obvious choice. Yeah. What about you?
I think I'm going to the keys on this.
You're going
one.
The keyboard
Sorry.
On this one?
I'm gonna let you be the lead butthole.
Yeah, I'll go pan flute.
Pan flute. Do you use your butthole for the pan flute?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I'm going Glockenspiel.
Oh. Ding,
okay, ding, ding, well, ding, I mean, ding, just imagine ding, being an ding, alligator ding, and trying to use a Glockenspiel.
It would be great if we could end this entire segment with that song.
Yes.
The made-up song.
Played with a
And then
keyboard,
they spent the next 8 months creating the greatest album. It's like a Bill and Ted's thing where those notes united the planets. It was just
we
built
all
up
just
a
take
joke.
A vacation to Bjorkland and just go.
Bjorkland?
Yes.
Iceland?
It's next to Dollywood.
Listen, Bjorkland, I prefer to call it. Exactly right. I prefer to call it Bjorkland.
Is there a Bjork Park where we can go look at fairies dancing in the moonlight?
It's always nighttime at Bjork Park.
Bjork's party. Sound like Owen Wilson a little bit. My brother Luke and I are sometimes mistaken.
Now
for
do
one
your Gollum.
Another.
Now do your Gollum.
No, I'm not gonna do it. My
it's like
comedy
Owen Wilson
hack filter.
Playing Bjork as Gollum.
Yes.
No. I met. Hold on.
Now what if they're wearing Bane's mask? Go.
I met Andy Serkis at Comic-Con last year. He was at the at the True Blood party.
Yeah. Why doesn't Andy Serkis have a fucking party called the Andy Serkis?
That's what I'm talking about. I was so excited. I couldn't even talk to him.
You have to ask why he doesn't have that.
Andy Serkis, call me.
Here's the thing. I moderated the Hobbit panel.
And so
Andy Serkis, I did this very like, in the panel, I was like, I'm so sorry because I know people hate this, but I was like, could you do the voice? Because that's what 6,000 people want to see. And so what he did was he was like, I'm tired of doing the fucking voice.
Yeah.
Like, and so he did, like, as a joke, he swore. And so everyone was like, yay, oh.
they never thought that.
Yay. Because he said fuck,
Yeah.
So there was like a.
It's like the time I heard Captain Kirk swear in part four.
Yeah.
I was like, what? No, Captain Kirk. You
How
can't
old
say
were
shit.
You?
In Voyage Home came out in, 86? I was 3?
Oh.
Your parents.
Oh. Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go your parents were letting you go out to see movies at 3 years old.
They actually would just say, here, Uber it.
Yeah.
I'd be like, it's not been invented, Mom. And she's like, well, I'll just call my friend Uber.
We'll go into my time warp where I can go and make that happen.
Wait,
hello!
You have a comedy time warp,
just
Mom?
Just brought everything way back around. We started this with time warp.
Marshmallow flowers,
oh my
gosh. Alligators, but
who are you doing?
This is
Bjork.
Bjork and
Gollum?
Owen Wilson's
no!
love child.
That was Gollum.
No.
No, Gollum is lower.
And it's scratchier,
is
too.
Is it lower? Do it.
Now you're going to have to say, okay,
I don't
say
believe you.
Butthole alligators as Bjork, and then say butthole alligators as Gollum.
I can't do Gollum's voice, but I could do.
You can.
Butthole alligators coming to snip a section of your butthole.
Like, see, that's not.
Is that the chorus?
That's Bjork,
yeah,
yeah.
That's the chorus.
That's
yeah.
the chorus.
Yeah. I can't.
God damn it. Why don't I have a pan flute app on?
Comedy prevents me from doing Gollum because it's like doing Jim Carrey in The Mask.
God.
You have a call
I love that picture of Chloe you have up there.
What, of Chloe in the hospital? What's the problem?
Chloe in the Hospitals, that's another band name.
Oh, yes.
The song's called Unnecessary Surgery. So, internship's coming out.
Yeah, June 7th.
No, The Interns, that's what it's called, right?
No, The Interns.
No, it's called
shit.
The Internship.
Oh, God, that whole campaign, it says... Intern. I thought it was called The Interns.
The movie is called The Internship.
Sorry, dude.
You're supposed to know.
Yeah. Sorry.
What the fuck? What other stuff are you doing when you're not doing True Blood stuff?
Oh, God.
What are you doing? What sort of
I did a slew of episodes on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
I just worked on Think Like a Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow's where all of Attacker Show's guests went.
Barrowman.
Yeah.
And all my friends, by the way, Manu Bennett is a friend of mine. Colton Haynes is a friend of mine. It's like John Barrowman went to my high school years before me. And like, I know all of the guests. It's really weird. It was really fun in that regard.
He's one of my favorite people, John Barrowman.
He's talk about a fucking star.
Yeah.
My God, walks in the room and it's like,
yeah.
I did a panel with him and he sang the whole time. And then he got up and he kissed a guy that was like dressed as a TARDIS on the mouth, just full on kissed on the mouth, and
that's
then just
John.
Let him go, and the guy fell back into his chair in ecstasy.
He told the story. We did a live podcast at Comic-Con in front of like 1,200 people, and he told the story about how one time he and his boyfriend were driving through the South, and they both had diarrhea and shit their pants and left their underwear on someone's fence.
I've done that.
What?
Yeah.
That's a thing?
It's a thing.
You pulled the Bearman?
Is it the Indian
food? It's the Bearman.
It's a Tampa thing.
It's a Tampa thing.
Oh, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Ate some bad tikka masala. And just...
It's a Tampa thing. I want to see that t-shirt and never wear
it's a Tampa
it.
And there's just like a shit stain on it.
Wow.
My dad lives outside of Tampa. Well, he did live outside of Tampa. Yeah. Bradenton.
Oh, yeah. I love Bradenton.
Until not?
Oh, no. Why not? No, why do you hate them so much?
It's lovely. I mean, it's fine. You know, this is the whole, you go like, oh, my dad lives in Bradenton.
And then you got to shit on it because it's fine.
No, you just be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, great. It's great. Well, that's what he felt about it too, which is why he mostly moved back to Memphis where I grew up.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah.
I did live in Florida for a while. My mother's from Miami, so I lived in South Florida for...
No, Miami's not
it's
really
different.
Florida.
It's not the same. Yeah, no, I know.
Miami is Miami. Yeah.
Miami's different from Central Florida, which is different from the Panhandle.
This is why Florida... My theory of why Florida is so fucked up is because everything bad, you know, happens in
everything
Florida. Like, all the crazy shit, like, you know, happens
bad salts,
in
Florida.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's because you've got the middle of this state, which is just kind of like basically just Lake Okeechobee and like deliverance country and like, you know, like just kind of guys still fighting the Civil War, right?
Yep.
And then on the edge of the state, on the coast, you've just got these beach towns. Yeah. Where it's like you just got like a lot of surfer dudes, so that's the whole state.
There's
like,
there's a reason that 40 years ago Walt Disney could buy 47 square miles of a state.
Yes.
Real
which
estate's
you,
so fucked down there that
you,
can you do
just
it now,
spent
too.
8 days at.
Sure did.
Did you enjoy
did?
It? I worked at Disney World. It was my
great.
First
you
job
did?
After college.
Doing what? What'd you do?
I was
you were
in
a cast member?
I was a cast member. I still have my name tag.
There's YouTube video of this somewhere.
Yeah.
I saw it. I didn't
believe
it.
Oh, you must have been
Janina.
A face. What'd you do?
Thank you, Janina.
You're welcome.
No,
just search Asif Manvi Disney World. He's like, first of all, he looks like he's 12.
Did they decide to go with a realistic Aladdin?
No, his like there was a improv comedy troupe called, which is still at Disney MGM Studios, called Streetmosphere. And
oh God,
I don't know why you're laughing.
Well, that's a lovely portmanteau.
I don't know why you're laughing at that.
Streetmosphere.
So in front of the Brown Derby, go ahead.
I don't understand why that's funny.
How many Streetmospheres below street level?
Okay, you're making fun of.
I'm not.
Very,
I think
very,
it's a good
very,
word.
A
it's two words that fit so comfortably together and roll off
never,
the tongue.
Never,
what?
Streetmosphere.
You'll never forget. The word now that you've said it—it's one of those words. It was designed by the Imagineers.
Of course,
well, they've got nothing.
The Disney
Imagineers. They've got nothing wrong except for an entire theme park in California.
Automoplane.
Wow, I can't. I just made a movie with. I'm making a movie currently with Disney, and so
that's great.
I can't actually wait.
Listen, no one is giving them more money this year than me.
That's
go
true,
ahead.
Actually.
So at Disney MGM Studios, if you
now Disney
visited,
Studios.
I don't know. It's now called Disney Studios, right?
Yeah. I visited.
So on the street there, there's actors who are playing improvising and playing characters who are archetypes of 1930s Hollywood. At least that's what it was when I first started there. So that's what I was hired at.
That's fantastic.
Doing right out of college, and it was where I sort of hung out for a year, and then I went to Universal Studios.
What was your favorite part of the Great Movie Ride?
Oh, I remember that.
The
thing.
Great Movie Ride was
the Chinese theater.
Yeah, the Chinese theater, and I'm trying to remember. There was an alien thing. I remember, like where the alien came down.
Yes, with the Sigourney Weaver that looks like it's always
pooping. And
dropped
the goo on you.
Yeah.
But there's all these like you know the behind the scenes at the theme parks. There's when the Imagineers created the theme parks, they would put in all of these like kind of secret things for themselves to chuckle about. So it'd be like, you know, you'd be in like
the penis on the cover of the Little Mermaid.
They would put things in the theme parks.
On the Jungle Cruise, I took the behind the scenes tour. We went on the Jungle Cruise with the tour lady, you know, the plaid skirt ladies.
Yeah.
And there's a when the headhunters come up, there's one headhunter that screams, "I love disco."
Yeah. Exactly.
What? Yeah. So if you listen for it next time you go by the headhunters on the Jungle Cruise, it's just you just.
I love disco.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So this is the way the Imagineers,
entertain themselves.
Imagine things.
That was
and engineer
them.
That.
It was the general Streetmosphere.
Now Imagineer works much better than Streetmosphere.
Streetmosphere is a little bit of a stretchmosphere.
Streetmosphere is a very logical name because it was the atmosphere of the street.
I understand.
And we were the atmosphere.
It was environmental theater.
What's really funny about that, going to Disney Hollywood Studios, I live over on the Miracle Mile. So like the Wilshire, you know.
Right.
For all you stalkers who want to know where to find
me. Yeah, find me. Whatever. I walk around all the time. Sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning. Whatever. Whoa. Come at me, bro. We'll talk Star Wars. So I was walking in Disney's MGM Studios, and it's Wilshire Boulevard. And so like it's like right around the corner from my there's a storefront that has a camera. I was like, that used to be a photo store. I'm sure that used to be a photo store. Then I went to MGM Studios in Disney, and it's there. The photo front. It's like, it looks like a camera.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a camera on the street. It's on the street right
and
there.
And that's on Wilshire.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's like a farmer's market. And I'm like, why did I come 2,000 miles to the fake version of my home?
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
But I'll tell you why. We don't have a rock and roller coaster.
When I was walking in Disney, saw the ghost
But you can't get from that. You can't get from that store.
Right.
To the Brown Derby in 30 seconds.
That's right. In the real Hollywood. Do you know where the real Brown Derby exists now? The dome that covered the Brown Derby, which was the Brown Derby shape, you know, that is now on a strip mall in Koreatown painted silver.
Is that right?
The original Brown Derby.
Let's steal it back. Movie plot! Yeah!
Streamosphere! Activate!
That's totally what we have to do.
I mean, people are going to Google Streetmosphere now. They're going to realize that you make
fun
of it.
I'm doing it right now.
And then when you're back,
completely inappropriate.
And then it's going to become a buzzword, and then people are going to go down Disney, and kids are going to be like,
wait.
Look, mommy.
They work in Vegas, apparently.
Yeah, they do it everywhere.
All I did was put Street Mo, and Streetmosphere came up.
Street Mo. That's that is actually the short version of Streetmosphere.
Oh, of course.
Because when you're in the...
have you showed up to Street Mo this weekend, or what?
Yeah, because because the sort of like the vernacular from like, you know, when you're working there, you don't want to say like, hey, I'm going to my Streetmosphere job.
Streetmo.
You just be like, hey, I'm going to go Streetmo.
I'm going to Streetmo it.
You work a Streetmo? Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm a Streetmo.
Yeah, I'm a Streetmo. Yeah.
Wait,
Streetmo.
Is there like a cast of characters, like a specific go-to cast of characters? Like their own comedia dialogue?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, yes.
Were there like archetypes? Like you were the actor?
I was the cab driver.
What?
But I was.
Let's talk about that racial stereotype.
But it wasn't an Indian cab driver. He was a New York cab driver.
So did you like? Was it the kind of thing like the Main Street cars? Would you just drive up?
No,
the fake cab?
I had a 1937 DeSoto, which was.
I love this so much.
It's a cab, and it was like a recreated sort of thing, right?
By the way, it's still there.
And that was my cab, and I played a cab driver from New York called Manju, taken from the name of the great character actor Adolphe Manju.
Fantastic.
And so
better than being called Adolphe.
And I used to
in the '30s.
Yeah.
And
he ruined that name.
He really did. And that mustache.
Yeah. We just talk about that. That's the part we just had.
And that whole fucking Nazi sign, by the way.
I mean, just ruined it. You stole it from the Hindus.
You see the Nazi sign everywhere in India, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, all the American crew is coming up to me and being like, why is there swastikas everywhere in this country? And I'm like, it's not the swastika.
There was a guy.
And we did it
first. Of all, it's the swastika.
Zva.
It's swastika. No, it's the backwards. It's, you know, it's the upside down. So anyway, what was I talking about?
We were talking about you being the cab driver.
Oh, so I played a New York cab driver in Streetmo who was like,
oh, yes.
Fuck me.
You love me.
That's
is there
not
source material
right.
that is readily available on the internet?
Is that a picture or a video?
Oh, that's a video, my love. Are you this guy that talked like this, eh? Is
you
that
really,
you? No, it was like a Jerry Lewis kind of character.
You've really changed the atmosphere of that street.
That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was to meld into the atmosphere.
The streamosphere.
You don't understand.
The composition is 76% nitrogen, 14% street. Then some other shit, oxygen, and
you guys
stereotypes.
That was delightful. Right.
It is
make
what catapulted
fun.
You
so what year was
to
that?
Where you are now.
What year was this?
Yeah, what year was
89.
Oh, so Little Mermaid when the park opened.
Yeah, we were the first year of the first cast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's very impressive.
I didn't know that it was only that old. I thought it was like a 70s.
Oh, no,
no. The original park is.
That was a reaction
to.
They were going to build the great movie ride and put it in a new pavilion in Epcot. And then Eisner said, hey,
why don't we
just build a whole park?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
then they saw Universal was coming and they're like, well, shit, we better do something movie quick.
Yeah, yeah.
I marched with my junior high through Disney World.
That's pretty sweet. I saw a junior high string quartet that was very out of tune playing.
Oh.
They tried, though.
Did you try?
You marched? You
I was, you know,
marching band?
Drumline, yeah.
I
played Glockenspiel, actually.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't like really start training in marching percussion until I got to high school.
I'm sarcastic psychic. I pulled that thing to be silly and then actually turned out to be a real thing.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring that up before?
Sarcastic psychic.
Percussion.
That's a TV show right there.
Where every time he says something sarcastic,
it's true.
Oh, yeah. Like, that guy really has a tumor in it. Oh, my
God.
Holy
shit. How did you know? I haven't told anybody. I just went to the doctor.
The sarcastic psychic.
Yeah, sarcastic psychic.
He's the sarcastic psychic.
Yeah, like that alligator really ate that guy's butthole.
I can't believe my God, he really did. Don't say it.
You wouldn't have just known that. I
mean, you can't help but be sarcastic.
Yeah, the whole time.
And every time he is, it's true.
Yeah. Are we going to die?
So therefore, but then by definition, he's no longer sarcastic because it's actually true.
It's all truth.
Oh,
but it's
shit.
The tone
shit,
with so which he uses. Or does he believe he's speaking in opposites, but he's
proven to be not sarcastic. Yeah.
No,
every
it's just
time.
He's a dick. And so
his intention is to be an asshole.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. But he can't, which, you know, he can't force. And so then the whole plot of the story is he meets a nice girl, played by Jennifer Aniston, who tones him down. And
I like that we're casting it all.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
already
good.
We're in pre-production.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
They got a puppy named Marley. You're like, this dog's going to fucking die at the end, right?
Oh, right. He's totally going to die. Oh, my God, he died. and then he falls in love and he's happy and then he can't make predictions anymore. And then the president's daughter's been kidnapped.
Oh, my God.
And they need sarcastic psychic, but he is so blissfully happy that the government
has to be an agent.
She's a double agent.
Here's what's happened.
So
she has to break his heart. She doesn't want to, but she has to just so the president's daughter can be safe.
And at the very end, you know, like they're having a moment. And he's like, yeah, like I really thought you were an agent for the Russians. And then they're like,
oh,
it turns out she's a double agent.
I think it has to be bigger than the president's daughter, though. It has to be like save humanity because nobody is going to give a shit about the president's daughter.
Okay, they've kidnapped Batman.
His daughter.
Batman's daughter.
Wow.
I think it has to be, it has to be big. It has to be like the, you know.
I just gave birth to a brain baby.
Wow, wrote a movie.
Who would be Batman's daughter? Is that like a Bat-Cat child? Like,
no.
Does Catwoman
Batman's,
have his
Batman's
baby?
Son is Damian. Is the son of Batman and Talia al Ghul.
Batman's daughter would be kind of an asshole because her father would be sort of like, you know, he sort of had his journey, but he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And so his daughter's just totally spoiled.
Yeah, she's like, whatever, daddy.
I don't just give a shit.
I don't even care, daddy.
The Riddler's boring.
Alfred smells weird, daddy.
Stupid. Just go on Facebook. Just say Facebook. I was Facebook.
Daddy, I just posted pictures of the Batcave and geotagged.
Why are you doing that? I told you not to post on Instagram. I work for HBO publicity. I told you not to do that.
I feel like it's really bad that I said that today.
Do you want us to cut it out?
Maybe.
No.
We'll talk about it later.
Because you were very emotional.
Then the
in a
callbacks
moment.
Will make no sense, though.
No, we're leaving.
I mean
it,
but still. Well, we'll talk about it.
Nobody's listening to this.
We'll talk about it. You know, the podcast will.
You're not getting rid of
it. You sleep on it. And you just let me know.
All right.
Let me sleep on it.
Every time.
I'll give you an answer in the morning.
There's always a Meatloaf song for everything.
Yeah, there is. There is.
Even though there's only three Meatloaf songs.
There's three Meatloaf songs, and they're
for
everything.
They work
for kind of like how Meatloaf goes with everything. Meatloaf goes
well,
with
I mean, it's his use of pronouns that make it fit everything. Let me sleep on it.
Yeah.
I do anything for love, but I won't do that.
Yes.
It's true.
He's very ambiguous
about
what it is.
Works
that he's,
for him.
What he's really talking about. Like, he's like,
I'm starting a new band called Specific Meatloaf. Baby, let me sleep on that bed. But I won't do
anal.
So he's very specific Meatloaf. Yeah.
Specific Meatloaf.
Yeah.
God damn it.
You know, what's interesting about that is then on a meta level, a meatloaf is a relatively non-specific meat mass.
Also true.
Yeah.
So
loaf of meat could be many a kind of meat.
It could be anything. It could be specificity.
How did he come up with that name? Do we know how he ever Googled that?
Because he's not in good shape.
I'm sure it exists.
No, I mean, surely, like, I mean, he must have been like, you know, I'd like to call my band whatever, like some kind of cool name, and then they were like, you know what, we'd like to go with.
Really, just like a smothering.
It was probably a nickname he had. Like, some people were calling him Meatloaf.
Calling him Meatloaf, which is not.
Or it's like,
I would like to see Meatloaf acting more. I think.
Yes, he's. I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
Get out of my brain.
Yep.
I
can't.
Maybe the word meatloaf is just sort of like a residual that just never changed.
Did you see him crying when Mitt Romney was giving his speech and then Meatloaf was standing next to him like weeping?
I'm sorry.
That sounds like a thing you made up when you slept. Like,
No.
Like
he was like either singing, but it was kind of wailing. It was sort of... You never saw this?
No, but now I
have. You never saw it? He was a big Mitt Romney supporter. So he'd be at all the Romney events.
Crying?
And then he would like be like...
Just weeping.
And there's actually a video of him like... He's not actually crying.
Is it a meme
singing,
yet? Because we should
but
definitely
let me sleep on Mitt. baby, let me sleep on Mitt. That's the anagram of Meatloaf is Team Leaf, where it's his
it's his
Democrat brother who's a twin.
Who works for Greenpeace.
Yeah,
Team Leaf. He's on Team Leaf.
Stands for everything. That's specific
energy,
Meatloaf.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I am sitting on billions of dollars of movie ideas. Do you guys have to go?
I don't know.
I don't.
Do you have to go?
Do you?
Who has to be anywhere, really?
I just got silent because we all thought about it.
You know why? Because I stopped talking. I was going to see if everyone else would
suddenly,
stop talking.
Like, suddenly we're all like, have we read The Power of Now?
Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Tolle.
Ugh. Tola.
Tol.
I thought it was Tola.
Tola.
You can only say it that way.
T-O-L-E, Tola.
I met them in the...
double L-E.
Yeah, it didn't work for my song, though.
T-O-L-L-E, Tola. It's double L-E and it's Tole.
This was really fun. I think probably almost unlistenable because of the constant Meatloaf riff pile.
Yep.
But to me...
This is never going to be...
We had fun.
The most fun.
We had fun.
Is this actually going to air? No.
Yes.
You're going to air this?
We can't have wasted this hour.
This can't just be for us.
I feel like we should just start from the
beginning. Like,
Here's the beauty of it. Our subscribers, it gets automatically downloaded. They have no choice.
How many subscribers do you have?
A billion.
It's a good number.
It's a good number.
It's a good number.
They're going to be mad at you.
No.
They're
always
mad. What the fuck is this?
No, they're sweet. They'll be fine.
What are they most mad about? What of your subscribers that are like haters, what do they hate the most?
That we don't do Hostful podcasts?
No. They don't hate that. That comes from a good place because...
They like us. Okay.
Yeah. What do they hate? People hate... You know, I did it during this episode. When I start singing in the middle of a podcast, I just break
into
someone's
song. They
don't
like
it? A lot of people
that
don't like
that. That shit is hilarious.
They don't like that I do dumb voices. That's irritating.
What? Really?
Why don't they like that?
You just lost a subscriber.
What? Oh, shit. Did you just unsubscribe?
I just unsubscribed.
Were you subscribed before?
Yes, I actually am.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think I've ever heard anything, but I definitely it's like a DVR full of information.
Someday.
I promise.
Your brother listens.
Describing all the things that people hate you doing, you have to do them. And so therefore you're doing the thing that they hate. So they're like, oh no, now he's going to describe the thing that we hate him doing.
And I'll just start combining them.
And it's like, let me sleep on it. Go, do, go, go, go.
Bjork covers Paradise by the Dead.
Anything for love.
Oh, God.
I run right into hell and back.
I don't care if people hate it because that shit is hilarious.
Well, I appreciate that. And I'm very excited about True Blood coming back. I'm very excited about the internship. And it was so lovely to meet you in person.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you.
So you say you're not working on The Daily Show now. Is it sort of open-ended or are you just like putting it or done?
No, I'm just doing this movie right now and then I'll be back on The Daily Show.
Bro's got a contract,
man. Once we finish the film and I'll be back and John Oliver will be at the desk. And
excellent.
John Stewart
until like September, I think.
What's Stewart doing?
He's producing a movie.
He's making a movie.
Oh. Hello.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
Is he
that's why I have to
producing?
Listen to this podcast later so I can learn about it.
Well,
I would have
just, then you would have had to listen to this episode.
He's making what I'm sure is a slapstick comedy.
It is. It's a very funny comedy about Iran and
very
and,
funny
and a guy that goes to jail.
And it starts with a flock of seagulls and Iran, which is. He's just trying to make it funny.
Now I get why they don't like
what are you talking about?
Now I get it. Now I get it.
What do you mean you get it?
Now I get it.
That was one step too far.
That was the line, Chris.
At this point, an hour and 21 minutes in.
It's not that it was one step too far.
Flock of Seagulls.
Many steps too far.
Flock of Seagulls is teaching a class, okay? And the kids have to name all of the countries in the Middle East.
We're doing fine. You had a wonderful...
Flock of Seagulls in.
You had a wonderful Bjork impression going. We all loved it.
Today.
We were on board with it, and then you went
I really liked
one,
his,
two, maybe 11 steps.
Your Bialum is great.
Four. Bialum.
Mayim Bialum.
Mayim Bialum.
That was nice.
That's good.
It's funny.
All right.
Yes, so, yeah.
Well, those are good things. Are you on the? Are you on the?
You're on the Twitters.
On the Twitter.
Yes,
oh yes,
on the Twitters.
I am. You can follow
who
me.
Who made you sign on to the Twitters? Who made you make sure that you got your name right? Who schooled you on that shit?
You better
years
get
ago?
Your name right.
It was. Do you follow Janina Gavankar on Twitter?
It's just at Janina. But
it's
whatever.
At Janina.
But back in the day, I sat your ass down.
Are you at Janina
this?
As well?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm at Asif.
Yeah, I know.
And I have that single name Twitter thing.
Yeah.
Which everybody at Twitter was like freaking out about.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, so what do I get?
So you clearly don't
like,
remember
nothing.
That I forced you to join this
no,
shit.
No. You
okay.
did. No, you did. right. You did. But I'm just saying that like, so Janina was like, you got to be on Twitter. And I was like, all right, I got to be on Twitter. And I got on Twitter. And then.
Begrudgingly.
And then I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to have this one name handle. Which is just at Asif.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hosted the Shorty Awards, which is the Twitter Awards for
oh,
those
I know
of you who
Shorty
don't know.
Awards.
And so
everybody
then
listening
then
knows
like,
what the Shorty
then they
Awards
were like,
are.
They were like, oh my God, that's amazing. You have a single name handle. And so I thought, oh, that yeah. And then they were so excited about it that I was like, so what do I get? And they were like, nothing.
You get a
and
single
like,
name
and
handle.
I'm like, so why then is it like, and they were like, I was like, well, how
you
are
get
it?
Good SEO, which is a gift.
Which is better than anything you could ever.
But I think people have a hard time finding me because I only have the single name handle. Maybe
no,
I
was pretty. It was pretty easy.
Was
wrong.
It?
Yeah. Because
oh, well, there you go then.
You
all right.
also listed your full name.
Oh, all right. Good. So
63,100 followers. That's not bad.
Oh. Mm.
It's not as good as a lot of people. It's not as good as one A at Janina. She's got like 111 followers.
This, I don't even know
this
if that
was
111.
One
just 100,
9.
And I have 111.
111.
Followers.
That's like
it.
You maxed it out.
That's
like,
it.
That's
I was
all
like,
it's,
I just like.
They didn't hear. You'll have to say it again.
What?
Chris has 1.9 million.
Whatever.
Wow.
I mean, it's just a number that I stick my identity to.
I have 55,000.
See, I how did you get a million followers?
I don't know.
He got on Twitter early and they're like, hey,
he has a brand called Nerdist.
Right, that's true.
And he refuses to change his Twitter handle to Chris Hardwick. He can keep all the followers.
I told you I own at Hardwick. I've had it for years. I just don't use it.
Pull the trigger, son.
But thank you for coming and good luck with the movie and your travels, and please don't die from heat exhaustion in Atlanta when
I'll
you're there this
to.
Summer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm still dealing with the dysentery from India. So,
so Atlanta's kind of a cakewalk at this point. What about you? What are you up to for the summer?
Oh, God. Actually, I don't think I'm allowed to.
You don't have to talk
can
about
I talk
anything.
About it? I know. I just, I'll just say this. I just signed on to be the voice of my first video game.
Oh, no.
What the fuck?
I'm so excited. Chris, I'll just come back another day. Because we have so much stuff, right?
Okay.
Let's not.
Right. We'll trade information. You come back whenever you want.
I'm a voice on a video game, too.
Yeah, I know. Just,
which game?
You know,
what game
whatever. You got there first. It's fine.
No, I'm just saying.
What game? What game?
It's not a video game that anybody plays.
He's
but
the guy that says, Mortal Kombat! And finish him.
No, I did this movie called The Last Airbender.
Yes, of course.
And I'm the voice of my character on that video
on
game.
On that video game.
Which three people have played. I'm very excited about those three people.
But it was probably fun to do.
It was totally cool. This is what I did for like 3 hours.
That's
right?
Two
I
more people in. Than saw the movie.
That's true.
Very respectful.
But a lot of people sobbed through the movie. So I love this cartoon. I hate you, Ding Dong.
You were saying what you got to say in the video game.
Oh, yeah. So I went in for 3 hours and I did this.
Seriously?
Now we need some impact, Walla. Now you're getting kicked in the stomach.
That was it. That was literally three
but
fucking
that was
hours.
Good, actually.
It was like my first marriage. Hey-o.
Bam!
You met in Streetmosphere.
Enjoy your burrito.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so anyway. Oh, we're done.
We're done.
We're off.
Whoa, that's a good throw.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I have missed these Friday night dinners.
Hey, welcome to Harvey Graw!
At these family dinners,
gracious, everyone!
Dysfunction is served.
Wah! I can't have you all messing things up for my entire adult life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we embarrass you?
Jump, jump, jump!
It's already better than I dared to dream.
They're extra.
Let the wild rumpus start!
Woo, 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 woo.
And they're embarrassing.
We know how hard it is to move on from the first girl that you ever slept with.
Not the first girl who I ever slept with.
Yeah, right. You're a regular lady killer.
I thought you said it was going to be boring here tonight.
No! I really hoped it would be.
But they couldn't love each other more.
Surprise! To mom and dad being totally normal.
Wow.
So, dinner next Friday, everyone?
Wouldn't miss for the world.
Dinner with the Parents, Season 1. Stream free only on Freevee.